This wasn't the first time Reed Sterling had a pistol aimed at him, and it likely wouldn't be the last. Though, until now, he'd never seen one brandished by such a prim blue nose. From the doorway of Sterling's, he studied the chestnut-haired figure standing in the pallid morning light in St. James's. She wore a plain straw bonnet, situated squarely on the crown of her head, and a tailored fawn walking dress that covered her from throat to footpath. As the owner of a gaming hell, Reed had a knack for getting a sense of a person straight away. This woman, for example, likely imagined that her unadorned self was hardly worth notice and easily forgotten. She couldn't have been more wrong. He was wholly aware of her, and it had nothing to do with the weapon in her grasp. There wasn't a single embellishment in her attire, no baubles, feathers, or even embroidered cuffs. And yet, his attention was fixed like a child's who'd spied a brown paper package with his name on the card, and all he could think was, "I wonder what's inside all that clever wrapping." A pair of brownish-grey eyes narrowed at him. "Surely you are not the owner of this gambling establishment." At the slight rasp in her voice, his flesh tightened over his frame, pulse thrumming.
"I am Reed Sterling."
The fringe of her black lashes bunched together. "Impossible. A man of such a reputedly successful business would have a degree of distinction."
"Carry a walking stick," he offered, stepping down to the pavement. "Quizzing glass on a chain?"
"Something of the sort. In the very least, he should be greying at the temples." Reed scrubbed a hand through his ungrizzled brown hair, still damp from his daily sparring exercises. She followed the gesture, scrutinizing him the same way he had done to her, her gaze sweeping over his form. The only difference was that her cheeks colored, as if she'd never seen a man in his shirt sleeves before. And when he grinned, she flushed deeper.
"Why, you're not even properly attired," she chided in a scandalized whisper. "Surely you do not always receive calls in such a state."
"I was informed that you rapped rather impatiently on the door and demanded an audience without delay, though the lad neglected to tell me that you intended to shoot me."
"Shoot you? Of all the absurd."
Her eyes widened slightly when she glanced down to the dueling pistol and frilly white handkerchief in her grasp. Then, with nothing more than a casual turn of her wrist, she pointed the long blackened barrel at the ground instead of at his heart.
"This isn't what it seems. I merely carried the weapon over in my reticule because I knew it belonged to one of your drunken patrons. But do not worry yourself, for it isn't loaded. I made certain of it. And the percussion cap is absent as well."
"Know a lot about pistols, do you?"
He watched, amused, as she awkwardly began to slip the handkerchief through the engraved trigger guard and around the checkered grip as she continued.
"When I discovered the heinous thing this morning, I skimmed through a book in my uncle's library. I had to ascertain if it was safe to remove from our doorstep. We live there, you see."
Reed's gaze did not follow her gesture to the stately townhouse across the street, adorned with pristine white pillars and box windows that had been void of candlelight until a sennight ago.
"I already know who my neighbours are, Miss Bourne."
"You know my—"
She broke off, her full lips parting. Then she straightened with a jerk, as if he'd just pinched her bottom instead of merely saying her name.
"You should not address me as if we are acquainted. We are not, nor are we likely to be formally introduced at any social function."
"Because common blokes like me don't get invited to the high society parties you lot attend."
Those lashes bunched together again.
"Because I am certain that I do not share any amusements with a man who promotes lascivious activities like imbibing in liquor, gaming, dueling."
"Not dueling,"
he said firmly, feeling a muscle twitch at his jawline. After his own father was killed in a duel, Reed had a supreme distaste for the practice. In fact, he spent a good deal of his nights trying to keep his more hot-headed patrons from demanding satisfaction over insignificant slights.
"It's a coward's way to hide behind a pistol. Real men know how to settle a score fairly."
"An educated man might use words to reach an amicable understanding with another. However, I do not imagine that is the preferred method of the owner of a gambling establishment."
Actually, it was. As far as Reed was concerned, a man in his line of work had to be skilled in the art of mollifying and mediation. but he didn't feel the need to explain himself to Miss Bourne. He'd let her think what she liked,